valuable you are. Glory to God that he did not want to exist in eternity without you.
Yes.
My word. Mm. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Bless your name, Lord.
Yes.
Bless your name, Lord. Yes, God. Yes, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. When I look back over my life and I think things over, I can truly say that I've been blessed. I have a testimony. When I look back over my life and I think things over, I can truly say that I've been blessed. I have a testimony. And you have a testimony today. If he has saved you and delivered you, you have a testimony. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. You have a testimony. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Lord, for saving us, raising us. Holy Spirit, thank you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That spirit that raised Christ from the dead is living on the inside of you. If you said yes to him, hallelujah, life-giving resurrection power on the inside of you. That's amazing. Glory to God. That's amazing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just bless your name. We lift you up on high. You alone truly are worthy. You are above every king, every nation, every crown. You are above them all. And we give your name the glory. We give your name the praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen.
You may be seated this morning. Welcome, Word of Faith Worship Center. Pastor Mike and Cynthia Henson. All right.
I don't have to come up there and do a pastor. Okay. Good morning, my sisters and brothers. I don't know if I... Yes, sir. Well, I'm just so honored to be here, and I like to apologize to everyone about Thanksgiving. Me and my dates, I'm not so good. If I don't tell him, it doesn't get written down. So, but we got the days all mixed up, and then we couldn't be here because we had already made prior engagements with that young lady in Wisconsin. But anyway, we just wanted to come and tell you guys what God has been doing. Pastor Robert is absolutely correct. When you say yes to the Lord, you better get ready. I believe the scripture says you better count the cost. Well, we didn't know what the cost was going to cost, but we're here to tell you, when they say all the demons in hell will come after you, when you say yes to God, they will come. You guys have never been arrested, put in jail for nothing. So when they got ready to arrest me, I'm like, they going to do what? And my sister Mary that was with me, she's in Texas now. She said, Sam, they getting ready to put you in jail. Put me in jail for what? She said, I'm telling you, they getting ready to lock you up. Lord and behold, they come out with the little pink handcuffs. At least they were cute handcuffs. Put me in handcuffs. The young man said, well, we're going to walk her through the back. They said, no, we're walking her through the front. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, through the front? What did I do, Lord? I'm still thinking, what did I do? I don't know what I've done. So they put me in jail, fingerprinted me and everything. I'm still in shock. So, Lord and behold, we went through that trial. We called Pastor Rob, tell him everything was going on. But When I was in the jail cell, I heard the Lord say, "You in good company. Good company, Lord, you in good company." And he began to remind me of the scriptures and all those that went to jail way before I did. And I put a smile on my face and I came out, and the young man that was out there, because I think Mike got me out there in 5 minutes or so.
About 20.
He was moving. I didn't even get time to use. I tried to get my thug life on. And they were like, "What is wrong with you, lady?" So I made a humorous out of it. But anyway, long story made short, I was coming out of the jail cell, and the young man said, "Ma'am, you have no business being here. And I'm so sorry." And I'm like, "Okay, thank you." He said, "Don't you come back to this place." I said, "Don't worry, I won't." So I went on out, and I told Sister Mary, I said, "We Thelma and Louise now." She said, "Stop playing." So we went on home, and we called Pastor Rob and told him all about it, and he began to pray. And these devils come after my children. They took my daughter, put her in foster care, said that I had neglected her. She had been abused, all this kind of stuff. And I'm still thinking, what in the world? They're coming after him. We're in the courts. Now, this has been going on for a year, you guys, but they still, the devil still weren't done. He come after the ministry next. They said that we were bad for their business, and they wanted us out. And we had a week to get out of two buildings. Both buildings, God had blessed us, packed to the ceiling with all kinds of things for the ministry. So here, me and Mike, all the members left us. When I say all the members, including my sister, there was no one but me and Mike to move about how many pews?
I think it was 24.
Counting the back, yeah. Ones in the, yeah, back too?
They about twice.
They were heavy, but you guys know, I think I might be kin to Hercules. Oh, no. So we got the pianos and everything, the instruments, everything. We've been blessed. We got us a U-Haul, begin to move everything. We asked the Lord, "Lord, we don't know what to do, all this stuff." And they want us out their building. And I asked the Lord, "What should I do?" He said, "I will not stay where I am not wanted." I said, "Yes, sir, Lord." I dried my little tears. We got to packing. We packed the stuff up, and we didn't know where to go with everything, especially the pews. And then the Lord gave me this light bulb. And the light bulb went off, and he said to buy one of those big carports and store everything there until further notice. Yes, sir, Lord. So that's what we did. We stored everything out of those two buildings, some at the beauty shop as well. Am I leaving anything out? Put some stuff at the beauty shop, put some stuff under that carport. He and I moved for 3 days. I don't even think we went to bed, did we? We stayed up all 3 days. Got it all moved, got it all packed up. And they had to add insult to injury. Said, "Oh, when you leave our buildings, be sure to clean it up." Pastor Robert, you saw the place when we got it. We cleaned that place, we painted, we got it prepared, we got it ready. I said, "Sir, I believe when we leave this building, we'll leave it better than we found it." A week later, there was a shooting over there, and a young man unfortunately lost his life. Bullet went through the ministry door. We went over to visit another young lady that was still there because she wanted to donate a lot of her stuff, because she said, "If they did that to you, they'd do it to us. We're leaving." So two other people that was renting from those individuals packed their stuff and left, donated some things to the church, which we were able to clean up and send to the mountains with Minister Lisa. We were able to pack some things and send to families in need. We still have a lot of things still left to pack. Yes, we have a lot of stuff. Oh, and that young lady, we have connections with Ghana, and we're sowing a lot of seed into Ghana. I was supposed to go, but because of all this stuff, I wasn't able to go. They're there in Ghana now. We're building desks. We are school desks. We've bought books, and we've been feeding the children there. We feed them breakfast in the mornings. And when the Lord first called us, he said, "Feed my people." He said, "First feed them, because a lot are hungry," he said, "and then feed them wisdom, because they love me, but they don't know how to serve me." So that's one of the things he told me when he called. We're going to back up just a little bit. We were getting ready to move some stuff out of the shop, and there was a big building that was open. And we were thinking, well, we're going to move that stuff and put it under that carport, the stuff that we had stored at the beauty shop, because we didn't have the carport at the time. And as we was backing out, I asked Mike to call the young man. The young man said, "Well, I'll meet you tomorrow." And he met me, and we talked. And the place, when I walked in, I had the same feeling, that warm feeling when I stepped into that old building. And I asked the young man how much it was, and it was how much? Maybe half of what we were paying at the other place?
Yes, about a third less.
About a third less?
Yeah, it's a whole lot better, though. A third is better than nothing at all.
So we went in, we began to prepare. We've got it set up. We're going to have our opening night, New Year's Eve, and it'll be our third year in ministry. As you can see, God has brought our baby home. One of the social workers there talked to me. She said, "Miss Henson, I'm telling you, behind closed doors, they were all against you. They all said you weren't going to get her back. They all said you weren't going to go take the classes, whatever they told you to do, that you wouldn't do it." And I said, "Well, evidently, they don't know my God. They don't know him, because God helped me through all that. I shed tears. I dried tears. I said, 'Lord, I'm being falsely accused.' He said, 'I was falsely accused as well.' I said, 'Yes, sir, Lord, you were.' He said, 'And you're going to be fine through this trial. You just hold on to the horns of the altar. You're going to be fine.' 'Yes, sir, Lord.'" So we still, I ask that the saints please pray for us, because they still, every time court day comes up, they change it. They say, "We want you to take a plea bargain." "No, sir, I will not lie. I'm not taking a plea bargain to something I didn't do. Now, if I'd done it, I did. But I didn't do this thing that y'all saying I did." I'm leaving anything out? So in that building, we still have the daycare. We still have the after-school program. We're still able to feed breakfast in the mornings. We have a little small kitchen. Anything else? We still have the computer room for teaching the literate and computer skills. I'm trying to think of everything. God is just so good, you guys. He has left nothing out. When I say we didn't even have to clean, the place was so nice and clean. The color coordination that we did in the other building is exactly the same in this building. And just if you look out the door, that sets my beauty shop. Where when I had the six grandchildren, raising the six grands, I couldn't work. So now that I don't have the grandchildren anymore, I can go back to work right next door and fix hair. So God has a way of working things out, even when we don't see him working it out. But I'm still scheduled to go to Ghana. They have prepared a house there for us to come and minister. But the Lord dropped in my spirit, "When you get there, look for some land and build me a house." "Build your house, Lord, build me a house." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "So you can go back and minister to the people so they can get the true word of God, so they can know that I love them, that they're not forgotten people." I said, "Yes, sir, Lord, yes, sir." Amen. So that's some of the things we've been doing, Pastor Rob. Been a little bit busy, haven't we? I still can't go back home, which is okay, because I refuse to put my grandchildren out. They want me to put them out with nowhere to go. Told them, "No, sir, I can't do that. My babies don't have a home. They don't have family here. All they have is their father that drove up from Georgia." God had a plan, because we didn't know they were going to do what they did. So when he drove up to visit the grandchildren, he was there that they couldn't go to Mary Frances and get the kids. They're special needs children. So they went to Mary Frances trying to take the children, but he was here. So that means they couldn't touch them. So they still live in the home, and we rented us another little place until this is over. Did I leave out anything?
Good morning. Just like to tell everybody, you know, well, it's late for Thanksgiving, but, you know, we love y'all. We thank y'all for co-laboring with us and supporting us. Pastor Robert, you know, he's a good guy. Yes. He always got a good word for you, you know. Nothing to bring you down, always lifting you up, you know. And I thank God for him. A lot of stuff we've been going through, and we still going through. But I made up my mind 3 years ago. We received Christ over 20 years ago, but when he had us put this ministry forth, I made up my mind then that ain't no turning back now, you know. I'm gonna have to take the afflictions and the talking and all that and keep on pushing. So I made up my mind we're going to go on and we're going to do what God is going to say, because only the things you do for Christ are going to stand. The rest of us going to burn up. And I'd like to ask y'all to pray for my family. My son passed last night, so he had been sick for 9 months straight. And my ex called me yesterday afternoon, told me, said he had passed. But even in that, I still got to believe God. I still got to keep loving God and doing what I'm supposed to do for God. And God gave it to me for 38. He'd have been 39 Tuesday. And it's hard, but I still got to trust God. No matter what, this, you know, no matter what. I mean, she called me and told me that my favorite song by Mercy Me, "Even If It Is Well With My Soul, God." I'm hurting, but it's still well with my soul. I'd like to thank y'all for inviting us this morning, Pastor Robert.
Thank you. Thank you,
guys. Thank you,
sis. We love you. We love you.
Yeah. And so the Lord just wanted to make sure it's not what man does. It's your heart. And you have a heart for the Lord. And if there's anything you need here, that certificate, you've got it. Amen. The Lord said, if you need that, we'll be glad to do that as a church. Amen. Because I want to do what God says do, right? Because that's what Mike said. That's what's going to matter. That's what's going to, in eternity, everything else is going to be burned up except what you did for the Lord. So this is where your offering goes. This is a part of your tithes and offerings that you bring here. There's ministries. And Terry, share that word you told me. Remember the word you shared when I was telling Terry led the worship here for us for many, many years. And I told him about what Mike and Cynthia were going through. What did the Lord tell you?
He said, that's one door closed and you're going to come back. You're going to be open better than what you were before.
Praise God. Look at there. And we received that right then that day. Terry said, if they get moved out of there, he said, they're just going to a bigger place, to a better place.
I believe God's preparing to go back and buy that.
Amen.
That's what I believe. We're
praise God.
Praise God.
That's right. Yep. And I did that, you know, when you were going off of that, I think I told Pastor Jim, I walked that property just like the Lord said everywhere. He told Abraham, wherever you set your foot.
Pastor Jim spoke that as well.
One amen.
Time, didn't you, Pastor Jim?
Yep.
Yes, he did. So I believe God's word. It might not be in the time we think it's going to happen, but it's going to happen.
Yep, because when God starts something, he finishes it.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Now, God's not out to hurt people. But if you don't serve him and you reject him, then you're on the backside of the desert. You're in the curse, and that's where the devil works. You remove God, next thing you know, somebody gets shot and gets killed. See, there's a presence there in that place where God's angels are there to protect. I'm talking about to protect the ungodly.
Yes, sir.
Amen. But then you move out of that. And you just—it's like you tie God's hands to do good.
Some of the neighbors over there, they hate me gone, you know, because it's peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
Now they are back to gambling and having parties and stuff over there now.
Yep.
See, the world don't care nothing about they. That's all. That's their God, money.
Right.
So that's what they after, the money.
Mm-hmm.
But one had told me, said, "Man, we hate y'all gone because it was peaceful over here."
He said, "But we coming back." Jesus said, I'm coming back, but until then the church is here. So we're here to take back with force, violent, take it by force. That means by love and authority, and you do it right. See, Jesus, getting ahead of myself here. So we're going to receive an offering this morning. That's why I wanted to read that. They're fighting a good fight of faith.
Amen.
Amen. I haven't been put in jail. Don't care to go. But, you know, for the gospel's sake, we got to be ready to even give our life, just like Stephen did, the first martyr. He didn't have time to go to Bible school, but he had the Holy Ghost. He believed in Jesus and got born again, got filled with the Spirit, and said, I'm going to preach the truth. And he became the first martyr. But Jesus stood up for him. Amen. So when you give today, Jesus is standing up. I believe he receives our offering, your offering, as worship. And then believe and trust him. When you build his kingdom, he's going to build stuff for you. Amen. When you take care of his house, he's going to take care of your house and your land and your properties. See, God is there to bless you. He's not there to hurt you. And once, remember, for God so loved the world, John 3:16, he gave. God is a giver. So let's stand this morning. And if you need the tithe, the envelope, they're in front of you there. Just make your check out to Word of Faith Worship Center. And we're going to put into the kingdom. We're going to, and this is one thing I wanted to share too, that, you know, my flesh, once you hear something like, man, Cynthia, ooh, she's going into some stuff. We're partners. The old devil says, yeah, you might not want to keep giving to them now. They don't have a ministry. And I said, shut up, devil.
Yeah, they do.
That's right. God says, God didn't say that when God goes into something, he goes into covenant. That's till the end. And I said, no, we are going to give. We don't give up on people. Amen. So we continue to give and we'll continue more. And the Lord says, when you go to Ghana and then get everything worked out, let us know, because we're going to help invest in a house.
Yes.
Amen. We can do it, can't we, church?
Yes.
Right. We can do it. Amen. We can do it.
Hey, Jesus didn't have a building, but he did. He have a ministry.
That's right. Praise God. He went about teaching and preaching in the synagogues. Amen. Anybody let you in? So, Father, we just thank you as we give as a church today, Father, that with the violence, you, Lord, we take it by force. We take our land. You said this earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, that we're a family here, and every place that we put our foot, Lord, for the kingdom, Lord, it's ours. So we just thank you that we can boldly come to the throne of grace today and find mercy and grace in time of need. And, Father, I thank you, Lord, as these people, your people, sow into the kingdom, Lord, that you bless them back in their lifetime, 30, 60, 100-fold, and then we have a promise of everlasting life with you in glory. But, Father, we just thank you for that and give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And here at Word of Faith, you just bring your tithes and offerings to the front and worship the Lord. Shake somebody's hand. Give somebody a hug. There's a purpose I played that song. You know, we've probably all seen the Rockies. There's only been a couple of them, right? But he's not a quitter. You know, it's you know, not everything in movies are good, but sometimes you got to throw away all the other stuff and look at what the producer, what that individual is saying. And no matter how many times, the Bible says, no matter how many times I may fall, if I got my faith and trust in God, I shall arise. And it's only by his anointing, by his power, that you can get up again. Because there's plenty of times in the world I got knocked down. I didn't have nobody in my corner coaching me. But man, once you get born again, Jesus said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Right? So that we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Amen?
Amen.
He never leaves us nor forsakes us so that we can boldly say something. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. He's got a boldness about him. You know, he came, you know, I believe this is going to turn into a series. I think it's going to go on into Christmas because the Lord, you know, Christmas is a time we think about the Lord's birth and we focus on Jesus, but he's not a baby anymore. Jesus grew up. Amen. This year, the Lord's focusing on me, his return. So many, many years, and that, you know, we think about his birth, but he's coming back. And he wants us to be ready. Amen. to be ready when he comes back. Because he came as a baby, as a child, but he's returning as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's our high priest right now. He's not in that kingship yet. He's coming to put his kingdom here on this earth to rule and reign for 1,000 years on this earth. Amen? Because that's what David portrayed. As David came into his kingdom, he sat on the throne. Jesus has still got to sit on that throne on this earth and reign. Amen? The right way, the way it was set up. We get to rule and reign with him. Amen? If you're once you're born again, you are kings and priests unto God. That's a promise. So this morning, as we went to sing Creed 2 this weekend, Saturday. So that's a little bit why that song's on the inside of me, because I always loved the Rocky movies. Amen? Because he was always the underdog. Didn't have a great lifestyle, but he learned to fight. He had something that he was good at. But really, it was his heart. That eye of the tiger in that movie represented his heart. Because a lot of times in this life, we get off course. We get off of what God's called us to do because of all the punches the devil's throwing at us. If we get off course, what we got to do? We got to go back and we got to get that eye of the tiger again. We got to find that purpose because the devil wants to blow your candle out. Remember that old song? Help me. What's that old song? This little light of mine. Yeah. I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, oh, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, oh, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. The second chorus says, not going to let the devil blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. I'm not going to let the devil blow it out. See, there's a choice. Yeah. Amen? Don't let him blow it out because he's huffing and a puffing like the three. We can get into all these nursery rhymes. He's trying to blow your house down. But if your house is built on a rock, built out of bricks, amen, built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, it'll weather the storms, amen. Jesus didn't say you wasn't going to have storms. He said, yea, though you walk through the valley, through that storm, I'm walking with you. Now, then he says, he bumps you in the side. Say this, do this, don't do that, don't speak against them. The Lord says, I'm your vindicator. Let him be the judge because he knows how to judge correctly, amen. So I want to share a little bit today about what the Lord shared with me a couple weeks ago as I was working, and I saw this billboard. It's in a new construction home. That billboard said, it's your time. Yeah. It's your time to buy this new home, to settle here, to claim this property. But the Lord spoke to me and said, it's my time. It's your time. See, that spoke to me, but it's not just for me. I mentioned it here. It's for everybody that's listening. It's your time, wherever you are with the Lord, whatever God's called you to do, and wherever you're at in your faith, it's your time. It's your time to arise to the occasion because God says it's your time. And I saw that, and it really ministered to me. Cynthia, you needed to be here today. The message was for today because it's your time, Mike, Cynthia. It's your time. Now, there's some things that's got to happen, but spiritually, God's saying, it's your time. Amen? No matter whatever anybody else says, you've stood that test. The test is your test of faith that God is going to work all this stuff out. So it's your time. Where do I get this? Because everything God gives you, it's got to line up. There's something, there's somewhere in the Word that he's speaking it from. Amen? They don't have to be King James English. But it's in your heart, but it's going to line up to the Word. Whether it be New King James, whatever translation of the Bible you got, just make sure it goes back to the original and lines up, right? Galatians 4, 4 through 6. Galatians 4, 4 through 6. Paul says, when the fullness of time was come. The fullness of time. What is it? That's your time. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son. Lord, why did you wait so long? He didn't wait long. It took God that long. See, it took from Adam to Jesus was 4,000 years. 4,000 years? Yeah, but to God, that's like 4 days. Because the Bible says, see, there's no time with God to him. He says to one day to him is like 1,000 days. 1,000 years is like one day. So to God, that's only been 4 days. It hadn't even been a week. God time. That he got Jesus back into the earth. back into the earth. See, Adam was God's first son. Adam was full of the goodness of God until he made a choice and sinned and lost that place of position. Adam didn't lose his place of position with God. He lost it on the earth. And God, and then the devil got involved and got man separated from God. Spiritually, Adam died, separated from God, separated from what God called him to do here on this earth. Now, the devil is the little g, little god of this earth. Until the fullness of time, Galatians 4, God sent forth his son, Jesus, made of a woman. Was there a virgin birth? Why did he have to be made of a woman? Because he had to do it legally. Legally, he was made of a woman, the womb, but not the seed. See, the seed comes from the man, and it didn't come from Joseph. It came from God. Amen? That was a miracle. Amen? God is his father. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, Jesus, made of a woman, made under the law. Remember all the law? Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. He was under the law, but he was full of grace. You can still be under something. You can be underwater, but as long as you got air, you're still alive. Amen. Amen. It depends on how your training's been. Because in that movie Creed, he liked to train underwater. See, Jesus was under the law, but he was full of God's grace and mercy. And he didn't. Jesus fulfilled the law. He didn't break it. He fulfilled it because he was full of God's grace. Amen. But he was made of flesh. He took on our flesh. He became the last Adam. After Jesus, there's no more. Amen? The fullness of time. He came, made him under the law to redeem. Redeem means what? To buy back. To redeem them that were under the law. Now, we wasn't born yet, but we were going to be born. That's why Jesus came, to redeem us back, all those that would come to Jesus, to redeem them back under the law that we might, we might receive the kingdom. So it's not based on what I do, it's based on what Jesus did. What's my part? If it's your time, if you've never received Jesus, this is your time today. Whether you're here in this church or listening by radio, Word of Faith Radio, we're going to get there one day. Internet, we are on the internet. If you hadn't received Jesus, today's your time. Don't wait. Amen. Because it ain't going to be long. He's going to split the clouds, and you won't have time then. Time is running short. The Bible says, if you hear today, hear my word. Today is the day of salvation. How do I get there? What do I do? Just believe. Believe the preacher preaching the word that Jesus came in the fullness of time. Gave his life to redeem mankind back to God the Father. And what do? Believe and receive that gift. It's a free gift. I did it 20 years ago on my couch at home. Knew I was a sinner. Knew I was doing things. I was weeping. I was crying. Didn't know what to do. But somebody had preached the word. I'd heard it. And I just believed it. Simple as a child. Believed it. Spoke it. Romans 10:9-10. If you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. That's it. As far as your relationship now with God, you are in the family. But the devil don't like you. And until Jesus returns back and chains him to the angels, see, Jesus don't have to touch the devil. The angels will come and chain him up. Until then, there's a fight to fight. And only you got to have the armor, you got to have the sword, you got to have the helmet of salvation, and that all is a spiritual force. And you only get that through Christ. Becoming born again. Amen. That's born from above. Can I get a weak amen? Amen. And you got to do that by faith.
Yes.
But you do that, you are born again. You're saved, sanctified forever, sealed by the Holy Spirit to be God's.
Hallelujah.
Only one person can get you out of that covenant, and that's you.
Amen.
Because the Bible says, whoever God gives, Jesus said, no man can pluck you out of my hand. Amen. But you could reject it and walk away from it, but why would you want to do that? Amen. It's your time today because of Jesus. And because of that redemption, you are sons. God has sent forth the Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Amen. And Jesus said, while he was here on this earth to the disciples, he looked at me one day and he said, up until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Because they couldn't. Jesus was setting a better way to pray. Once he went to the cross, no longer do you pray to God, you pray to the, you pray Father, pray to God through Jesus in my name. Ask and you shall receive. Amen? Amen. Now it's got to be according to the word of God, according to God's will. Amen? So today, it's your time. I'm going to give you a couple nuggets out of Galatians 4, verses 4 and 6. The NIV, the New International Version, translates this phrase, when the time had fully come. When that time had fully come. The God's Word translation says, but when the right time came. Right time. Each of these translations is emphasizing that Jesus was sent, Mike, at a specific time. Specific time. The entrance of Jesus into the physical realm was not a random thing occurring at a just haphazard time. It was a plan. Amen. That the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit discussed before God even created this earth. Amen. The Bible says the Lamb, Jesus is the Lamb, he was slain before the foundations of this earth was even formed. The word fullness, fullness of time, it literally means the maximum or complete size. Amen. Now, when I was born, I wasn't this size. I was little, well, I was pretty big as a baby. I got the baby pictures to prove it. Then I got thin, like Rowan. And then a few years later, I got a little bit bigger. Amen. I got to retrain my brain to that thin. Amen. But when I was born, I wasn't this size. But once you get born again, you are as Jesus is in this world. See, in the spirit, you are as great and as big as Jesus. Amen? But you still need wisdom. Amen. See, you got the power, but you need the wisdom on the right time when to release his word here, there. So it's your time. But then always be listening what the Father's saying. That fullness means a maximum or complete size. There were developments that had to take place before Christ could come to the earth and redeem us. There was a time frame. The Father sent his Son to the earth at the earliest possible time. God is not pleased with the suffering that's taken place on this earth from the fall until now. He's not pleased. What he is pleased with is this, our faith in what the plan that he has is that I love you. And God, see, this is the whole gospel in a nutshell. God loved you so much, he died for you. Amen. See, he took God, Jesus is God. And God took our place on that cross and as a man died physically who never knew no sin. So that, see, he was flesh, so that he could spiritually go to hell and redeem mankind that were they were in bondage. Amen. Because of sin. But thank you, Jesus. For coming after me. Amen. Amen. I was lost, but he knew one day I would be found. Notice that Paul was not saying that God created his Son when he appeared on the earth. No, God, Jesus, the Son, had existed as God forever prior to the time. God the Father sent the already existent Son, Jesus, to the earth through Mary. And what did the angel do coming to Mary? Proclaim this good news. Mary, you are highly favored. Amen. Amen. Gave her this promise, the messenger angel. But what did Mary do? Amen, brother. Amen. Be it unto me. So be it. Amen. Amen. See, she had to receive. God didn't manipulate her. He didn't make her do anything. He gave her a salutation, a message, and she said, I like that. I will. Be it unto me. And then the Holy Spirit came upon her, overshadowed her, and she conceived Jesus by faith. It was her time. There was the angel. Don't wait to God. God doesn't have to send you an angel right now. He sent you Jesus. He sent you the Word. The Word became flesh, and then he became 30 years old, he began to preach. Amen. He was anointed by God. He had something to, the fathers had something to say for many, many years. He started saying it through Jesus. The same thing that Adam was going to learn and say, Jesus said, I know it and I'm proclaiming it today. He said in the book of Isaiah, today the Spirit of the Lord God Almighty is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news, give deliverance to those that are bound, to preach liberty, bring sight to those that are blind, and to preach the year of Jubilee. Everything that's counted against you, God says, I'm taking care of it. Amen. Through Jesus, that's the gospel. That's the good news. There you go. That's good news. Amen. I got a chance. I got a chance, brother. If you got Jesus, you got a chance. See, the virgin birth of Christ was an essential part of the redemption process. Christ was born under the dispensation, that means a time, of the Old Testament law. Remember, Old Testament, we're in the New Testament now. He's the only person who ever kept the law flawlessly. Amen? He didn't miss it. And he already had righteousness as God before he became a man. Then he earned the righteousness that comes through the law by being perfect. He didn't sin. Amen? And he bore our curse on that tree, 1 Peter 2:24. He bore our curse and punishment that we should have received for breaking the law. We were all guilty. Once I got born into this earth, once everybody in this place was born by your mother in the earth, you're a sinner. You're guilty before God. But I'm not going to go that way. But Jesus says you're free. So if you have parents that are born again and you are a child in that family, you heard the gospel coming up until you came to an age of accountability. You said, I understand this, Mama. I want a Jesus. I want Jesus to be my Lord. And then you walk your child into how to get saved and born again. See, they have to do that. We show them Jesus, but they have to receive Jesus. And then once they do, they are born again, born from above. That's the gospel. That's how we teach our children. That's how each one of my children, by faith, we walked them, but they had to, now they got to believe Jesus is their Lord and confessing. And once you do, man, you're born again, saved. Jesus took your curse and punishment that we should have received for breaking the law and thereby redeemed us out from under the law. That's a good time to shout. Praise the Lord. Amen. Man, no longer guilty. The judge just threw the hammer down and says, it's your time, free. Jesus set me free. Free. Are you sick? You're free from that. Amen. Jesus is your healer. That's the curse. Sickness is a curse. Poverty, not able to meet your needs, paycheck to paycheck, that's a curse. Jesus redeemed you from that, but you got to learn that. You got to get into Scripture, and you got to seek with all your heart. All right, Lord, how do I get out of this? Don't say nothing. I'll speak for you, Cynthia. In other words, hold your lip. Do what's right. Amen? That's called redemption. Now, we now have received the perfect righteousness of Jesus by faith. That's Romans 8 and 4. You got to believe in your heart. Romans 10, 9 and 10. So just to get Jesus born into the earth took the Lord God 4,000 years. Just to get him born. Then we can see Jesus had to grow as a child. Had to have his diaper changed. Back then, probably cloth diapers. Had to be fed. He cried. He whined. He had to be disciplined. He's watching his brothers, his sisters. But there was something on the inside of him that even though he saw evil out here, he didn't like it. And he knew, I'm not going to do that. See, Jesus had to grow in the grace and the knowledge of God, just like we do. Just like we do. That's Luke 2, verse 40. Rowan got that on the screen for me, or read. Luke 2, 40. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. Strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. The power of God, the blessing of God. Blessing of Abraham, remember reading about the blessing of Abraham? It was on Jesus. And he was learning, man, I got all this good stuff working for me. The blessing of Abraham. And not until Jesus, help me, how old was he when he started to minister? 30 years old. Not till he, that's 30 years he had to grow and see all the evil, see all the bad things happening just over there where he was. 30 years of age did Jesus begin to do, not, let me go back here. Not until he was 30 years of age did Jesus begin to do what he was sent to do. 30 years. That's Revelations 13 and 8 from the foundations of the world. Jesus had decided this is what I was going to do. So for 30 years, Jesus prepared for the day that he would start and finish all that God the Father had called him to do. Preparation time is never wasted time. Preparing, listening, learning. Amen. Now, God's not bringing, he's not bringing the bad things, but he brought us Jesus in the bad things. If we know Jesus and know the word, we'll make the right choice, say the right thing. It's your time. Okay, today I'm going to say this. And then if we say the right thing, we're coming out a little bit. And then next thing we know, we're free. Free from that test or trial. See, God will test you, but God will only test you with his word. In other words, if you know, say, well, Lord, I want to be a witness for you today. I want to do some things. Well, he'll bring you somebody to witness to and test you. Yes, sir.
He had 10 times as many years preparing as he did ministering.
10 times more. See, he only ministered for 3.5 years. Amen?
Amen.
But boy, those 3.5 years, he was knocking some giants down, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Talking about the devil. That's a good word, Jim. So for 30 years, Jesus prepared for the day that he would start and finish all. Say all.
All.
I want, Paul said, I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. The devil didn't take him out before his time. He finished it. So Jesus wants us to finish. He don't want us to leave early. We heard of a son left early. We can look at the scripture and say there were some things he didn't know. There was a knowledge problem. There was the devil. There's all kind of variables, but guess what? God's still for us. God's received him. He's in paradise. He's with Jesus. Where's paradise? Wherever Jesus is. That's in heaven. It's not in the earth anymore. It's in heaven. It's out there, not down here. Jesus delivered those that were in Abraham's bosom. Amen?
Amen.
We cannot microwave our miracles. We cannot microwave our lives. See, God, Jesus was a miracle. God couldn't just microwave him in 30 seconds. He had to get people to say this and say this and say this. Prophesy the Messiah.
Amen.
So don't think we can just microwave these things in our lives. But we can use the conventional oven. Use the conventional oven. Use the fan and the heat. Come on. Fire the Holy Ghost. Speaking in tongues. See, we can make things work a lot better if we know how to do it. And do it the right way. For the earth brings forth the fruit of herself. See, we can't microwave. First the ear, then the corn, then the full corn in the ear. 36 to 100 fold. Your growth, once you get born again, it's a process. But you got to stay in the blender to get processed. Amen. My wife, she just done some slaw, done some pecan pies. You throw them in that thing, you know, it's a pecan. And zzzz. Next thing you know, there's little pecans everywhere. See, God has a plan. We got to get in there. Amen. And let him process the plan. Amen. For the earth bring forth the fruit, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. Jesus, took him that long to get here. Let's think about just a few more. King David. If you haven't read the life of King David, to be king over Israel, David was the youngest of 8 sons of Jesse the Bethlehemite. Man, I said that pretty good. I said it fast. Bethlehemite. I ain't going to say it 10 times. He was the youngest. He is anointed king by the prophet Samuel, and that's 1 Samuel 16, 1 through 3. It's your Old Testament. While the historian Josephus says that David was 10 years old, now it could be 10 or 15 here, 10 years old when anointed, and the modern commentaries place the age around 15. So between 10 or 15, David was anointed to be king by the prophet. David began to rule when the tribe of Judah asked him to reign over them when he was about 30, where's that name sound familiar? About 30 years old. Jesus was 30 when he was anointed. Amen? So there's a preparation time. After about 7.5 years, the remaining tribes of Israel acknowledged him as king. Conservatively, therefore, the period between when he was anointed, David was anointed by Samuel, and the time David actually began to officially rule was 15 to 20 years. You got that? You write that down in your little in your notebook, in your calculator? And if you go and read about all that David had to endure between that transition period of being anointed and becoming king, whew, boy, Cynthia, it would be easy what you've been through compared to what David been through, or myself. Man, the king was out to kill him, read him out from his own place. David was on the run from the king that he fought and won the battle for because of somebody called the devil. Pride. Amen? See, Saul had a problem. He was there. Saul would like to please the people. See, if I looked out here, and I know a bunch of you guys. I know you personally, and some I don't know is more. But if I would start ministering on, I better not say that because I know they're going through something, and that might offend them. See, if I start doing that, I become a people pleaser and not a God pleaser. And then I'm not going to be, God's anointing is not going to flow and work. Because, see, God wants me to speak the truth in love. There's bondages you need to be set free from. Now, I'm not saying God's not going to show me things. He's God. He only reveals it to me by his spirit. And that's if you're willing to be set free. He won't show me nothing unless you want to be set free. That's right. Amen. I'm not praying to God, God, show me something about Brenda. God, show me something about Vicky. I'm just saying, Lord, give me what your people need. That's what, as a pastor, that's my job. That's what God's called me to do is feed the sheep. Now, it's up to you how hungry you get. Amen. Amen. My kids are always hungry. My refrigerator is always going down. Amen. I always want to be hungry for something God's got. Amen. Not what the world's got. So David, about 15 to 20 years before he actually began to sit in the office of king. Now I'm going to tell you a little bit about me. Just a little bit. My timeline is short compared to King David's. Amen. I was born again approximately about 20 years ago. Because Ruthie's 18. She was born. She's our millennial baby. She was born 18. And Dallas was born before her. So I knew I got born again somewhere in between a couple years in that time frame. So I kind of run my by Ruthie. Right, Sherry? Around 20, about 1998. I knew, and once I got born again that night in my house, I really just fell in love with Jesus. Because my wife had got born again first. But it wasn't until I went to church service and heard the anointed word and was the Holy Spirit delivered me from demonic stronghold. I'm talking about the anointing, a man that was anointed by God, Evangelist Terrence Rose. And when he prayed for me, the anointing came upon me and delivered me. I didn't know nothing about the anointing. So that's a good thing. Because I just went down there because what he said would minister to me. And I went down to the altar and got set free and delivered. And I didn't want to drink anymore. I didn't cuss anymore. This happened all at the altar. I mean, once I got born again, I didn't want to cuss as much. But I still had that spirit, that unclean spirit that was dominating my flesh. But at the altar, under the anointing, I didn't say them cuss words anymore. It was taken from me. I was delivered. I had no more desire to drink. I still had an addiction to nicotine, still smoke, Bible study. But through the word will cleanse you and it'll set you free. It's not keeping me from heaven. It was just keeping my body. It was doing damage to my body. See, I'm supposed to honor God with my body my whole life. Amen. So I got born again, but then I got delivered. And once I did, I knew that night, I want to help others. What this brother did for me, I want to do for others. I want to lay hands and that same power. Man, I want to see people get set free. I was different when I came up. I mean, I was free. My dad didn't serve God. He brought in a lot of demons into our house. Pride and anger and been out to the bars. All these, and I was subject to them because he was the head of the house. So I was just, all these spirits were hitting me. I didn't know. I'm a child. But I still, there's something on the inside of me that looks up and knows there's a God out there. And God worked through me. He worked through all that. It took a while. It took some process of God putting strategic people in my mom's path. And then God saw me one day getting anointed down here at the altar. Mike, getting set free, and I knew there was a calling to minister. That's all I knew. Never been to church, never been to Bible college. I went to church on Easter, Christmas, because Mama said be at church. I did honor my mom, right? She brought me in. She said, I'll take you out. So I was called. I knew I was called to minister. I was ordained. That was 1998. I was ordained by my pastor, Dr. Jim Howard, in 2008. I've even done the calculation here. So in 2013, I was asked to pastor this church. Do the math. From 2013 to 1998, a total of about 15 years.
Preparation.
I'm in good company. When you look at that, so when you're in the process, you're like, when, Lord, when, Lord, when, Lord? Now he says, it's your time. After 15 years, it's your time. Amen? Now, I don't know what all that means. We're going to discover it as we go into the month of December and maybe into 2019. I don't know. But the Lord specifically said it's your time for ministry. Full-time, traveling, I'm not sure. I know all that's in my heart. But I don't want to get ahead of God. You don't never want to get ahead of God. Amen. Promotion don't come from the east, west, or the south. The Bible says it comes from the Lord. If you look that up, it didn't say the north. And David was saying that. And if you go look and study, David knew the north was Jerusalem. That's where my help comes from. Zion, from Jerusalem, from Jesus, from the north. Amen. David knew where his help come from. It come from the Lord, from that anointing. So there I was, 15 years before the Lord placed me into the office of pastor. Amen. Now, in the in-between times, I'm like, Lord, when? Lord, when? I mean, I was Jim's audio man, and Pastor Jim, he let me open up, and I was like, when, Lord? When am I going to step in his shoes? When am I going to get in them shoes? Well, Jim, if I would ask pastor, he said, you don't want to wear these shoes right now. Amen. Because sometimes, you know, you just see a lot of the up here, but you don't see the battles you got to fight, the demons and all this stuff. Amen. But it's well, it's an honor. Amen. So recently he told me, it's your time. Now I told you, we went, me and my wife, she asked me if I wanted to go see that movie. And like I said, I love Creed. Just, I like to see Rocky in the ring, but you know, it's not his time. It's not his time anymore. There's a time when you transition from the fighter to the coach. Amen? From the fighter to the coach. You still got all the good stuff. You just need somebody younger. That's what Paul's telling Timothy. Timothy, I fought a good fight. Whew. It's your time, buddy. It's your time to take the reins. But I fought a good fight. Now, everything that I've done, I'm sure Paul laid his hands on me and released that anointing into him. You know, I've had dreams. Brother Andrew Womack, man, it's his time, ain't it, Jim? Everything that he'd done, the persecutions he went through, man, things that's happening up in Colorado, the sanctuary. But that same anointing that's on him, the Lord's dropped it in my spirit. In other words, teaching people faith. I've just seen it in a dream, and I've received it. And it's not Andrew, it's that same spirit that's on Andrew, just to keep preaching the uncompromised grace and truth message. Simple. Don't make it hard. Because you make it hard, you make it complicated. That's not simple. Jesus kept it simple. Now, those that wanted to trap him, he made it hard for them. Amen. He didn't tell them. See, you ain't got to tell everybody everything you know. Amen. Because unless they got Jesus, then they ain't going to understand it anyway. So the main thing is, if you know Jesus, that's the key. That's the beginning to miracles. That's the beginning to your miracles, is knowing Jesus. Amen? Amen. Man, 20 years ago, I'd never seen myself up here. I was just dragging through life like this, dragging. I had the dragon. He was behind me, the dragon, the devil. You know, I was dragging sin, dragging shame, condemnation, all this stuff. Then Jesus came in and broke the chains. He said, that's enough. That's enough, devil. See, there's things that was happening in my life that I didn't even understand. And Jesus said, I know who, just give me your life. And when I did, bam. But now, as a son, I've had to grow. And he's just not going to break those chains now, because you grow. He says, you have authority. You break the chain. Don't even get shackled. That's Jesus. Don't let the devil shackle you no more, Cynthia Mike. You know his devices. You know you stay on him. Your prayer closet, that's not a room. That's your authority. That's a place in Christ. That's that prayer room. That's your place in Christ, your prayer closet. It's your place in Christ, that authority you have. That's it. Those are my kids.
Yes.
Devil, you're done.
Yes.
Get your hands off of them now in Jesus' name. You take your authority. And you can see the devil, he don't like, a thief don't like to be found. He's hiding. But once you find him, you rail it on him. Amen. You give him the word. I'm talking about the devil, not people. Mm-hmm. But a lot of those people are possessed by the devil, or ignorantly they don't know they're trapped by the devil. And God needs us to set them free. He needs you, Carrie. He needs you. I've heard some good things, testimonies you've been giving about word of faith. There's some people out there, Carrie, need to know this place. God's sending you. It's your time, brother. Go bring them in. Tell them about you. You can't haul them in. You draw them in. Amen. You draw them in with the love of Christ. Give them your testimony. Tell them what God's done. Tell them what God's done for Mike and Cynthia. Man, God's got a place down there. Amen.
Amen.
See, we got to see it the way God sees it. Filled with godly businesses. Feeding the hungry. Bringing in the lost. Getting people saved. So that's what Jesus seen in a dark, perverse world. He saw hope out there. Amen. He saw hope. Because he knew his Father. He knew the Word. He knew who he was in Christ. And man, that'll set you free. Thank you, Lord. Let me just make sure I didn't have no more notes. I think that was it. Thank you, Lord. I was talking about the movie, about Rocky. You want me to crank the music back up? No, don't do that. Creed 2 is out. Produced by Rocky, Sylvester Stallone. And it's the son of Apollo. You know, his dad fought and got killed in the ring, so his son grew up and he had that same eye of the tiger. He had that same gift of fighting, of knowing how to go the distance, you know. I don't watch boxing, but I like Rocky movies. I mean, if you're a boxer, God's called you to be a boxer and anointed you. Fight, brother, fight. Do as you do all, do it to the glory of God. But you better pray for that brother if you knock him out. Pray that he's okay, amen, because God is love. See, David didn't pray for Goliath. He killed him. Now, that's the devil. Goliath represented the devil. Your enemy in the ring, that person, if you're a boxer, that's not your enemy. The enemy is the devil. Amen. We're talking about sports here. But that movie, Creed, toward the end, I'm not going to tell you the movie because I'm not going to ruin the movie for you. But there come a point in the movie when his coach said, "It's your time." And when Sylvester Stallone said that, God said that to me. It came out of his mouth, "It's your time." I said, "Pray." I'd sit there to the movie and I was kind of getting my arms crossed. I'm like, "Man, it's okay, but this ain't Rocky in the ring." Until he said that at the end of the movie, I said, "Whoa, say that again, Sylvester Stallone. It's your time." That's what he said. But he didn't say that. He said, "It's your time." So what is your time? What is God speaking for you today? Amen. It's your time. It's your time for that glory. I ain't going to tell you that. I ain't going to tell you the movie. You got to go see it. But there's a time that only you and God know. Specific seasons in your life. It's your time. And don't let the devil steal your dreams. Amen? Brother Jesse said, there's no expiration date on your dreams, Terry. Whatever God's called you to do, keep God first. He's got to be the center in your ring. Amen? Because he knows the devil. He knows what punch. He knows what he's going to sling. But he also knows his weakness. God knows the devil's weakness. Now, the devil knows your weaknesses, too. But don't tell him. Don't show it. That's where the boldness, that's where the Holy Spirit in your weakness, that's when you come out fighting. See, the devil thinks, this is it. He's going down. Little does he know who's on the inside. There's a lion of the tribe of Judah. If you're a Christian, Jesus is on the inside of you. But you gotta go through round one sometimes. How many rounds in boxing? How it go, what, 12? 12 rounds and limit? Or 15, then they call it. Man, who wants to stay in the round 15? Who wants to stay in the ring 15 rounds with the devil? Man, ask God for that knockout punch in the first round.
Amen. Get it over with.
Get it over with. Amen. But guess what? To do that, you gotta be prepared. You can't grow up one day and go not go to the gym, not hit that bag, and go say, "I want to go hit Mike Tyson." You don't want to be now. Mike Tyson going to spit you out like David. bite your ear off. Amen. Don't hug Mike Tyson. Don't lock up with Mike Tyson. Man, he's after points. I'm sitting here like this. I'm thinking about Brother Hagin. Yeah. He had that doing his thumbs like that, Jim. I think that same anointing sometimes hits you. What's the Lord saying? See, that's what this characteristics of Kenneth E. Hagin, the spirit of the Lord, spirit of righteousness, spirit of peace. Mike talked about peace. That was the first thing that was noticed in our home. Do we always have that peace in our home? No, sometimes we have battles, we fight, but family members that came to our house noticed a peace they'd never noticed before. Jesus said, "My peace I give you. My peace I leave you." Not the world, not as the world gives. And people will recognize that peace. Amen? And that's a force that's to be reckoned with, is that peace. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to specifically want to pray for you guys this morning, too. But let's pray. With your heads bowed, if there's anybody here that has not received Jesus, now would be your time. If you would just receive him. If you haven't received Jesus, just give me a hand. Just let me know. If you're not born again, hadn't received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today is your day. And if you're listening by internet, all you got to do, he says, it's your time. Son, he says, come home. He said to the prodigal son, Jesus was so happy when I came home. What do? You just run to Jesus. Don't run from God, run to God. Amen. And just let him be the Lord of your life. That's what he wants to do. Every area of your life, he wants to minister to you. So, Father, I thank you right now, Lord. We've all in this church, everybody is, by no show of hands, Lord, have committed our lives to you. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, specifically, it's their time today. Thank you for this message today, Lord. And I believe there's more to the message, Lord, that you want to show to your people. So, Father, we just thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you for your ministry today, ministering to life unto us, yes, breaking the chains that the devil has tried to snare us with, those traps. Yes. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for showing us and revealing your plan, your purpose to us, and showing us things to come. And we just submit ourselves to you, spirit, soul, and body today, Lord, to be used for your glory. Used for your glory. And, Father, specifically right now for Mike, Lord, we just thank you for that comfort right now, Lord. That, Lord, his son, Lord, he's released him to you. So, Father, right now we thank you, Lord, for releasing that same power, Lord, that same grace you gave Jesus. Lord, he didn't want to leave this place. He didn't want to die. He wanted to stay here with his friends and with his family. But, Lord, he knew he had to go to a place until he would come again. So, Father, I just thank you right now for that grace that Mike has, that he's going to see his son again. And we thank you, Lord, that Mike will see other sons out here that their fathers have neglected or rejected them, that, Lord, he will be a father to them, that compassion he has to be with his son, Lord, he will pour into the lives of other men. Lord, that's your will, Lord, that Jesus was moved with compassion and he healed the sick. Because, Lord, he is a shepherd. And we thank you, Lord, for Mike being a shepherd. And, Lord, for you sending him sons, Lord, that he can minister his love to them, Lord, and see their lives changed. That they live their full lives here on this earth. That Mike will be able to see the tactics of the devil on these young men that will come into his life. And he'll be able to take authority and teach them, Lord. He'll teach them your ways. The right way, Yahweh. And, Lord, we just give you the praise for that right now, Lord, for that special anointing, Lord, that is upon Mike right now to be able to minister to young men and to children, Lord. And we give you the praise for that. And we thank you, Lord, for Cynthia. Yes, we thank you, Lord, for FRR Ministries, Lord, that we are here. We are here to the end, Lord, until you return, Lord. We thank you for this vision you have given Cynthia and Mike, Lord, for Ghana. And, Lord, we just claim, Lord, whatever you've spoken to their heart, Lord, we agree with her. That it'll come to pass. And we thank you, Lord, for bringing her family, the rest of her family in. Yes, that, Lord, you went after Lot. Yes. You went after what was yours, Lord. And in the spirit, Lord, they're going to be tenacious in the spirit. Mm-hmm. And they will go and they will bring back their children. Yes. That, Lord, they will not be in that place of darkness, Lord. They're going to come into the light. They're going to come to that safe home. And Cynthia's going to return to her home, Father.
Yes, Jesus.
And we just thank you right now. We call her back home. Back to her place. It's her time. It's their time today, yes, Lord. Yes, yes. And we just thank you. They've been through the fire, Lord, and you've been with them. But, Lord, yes, it's time, Lord, coming out of the fire.
Thank you,
it's time to come out of the fire and be the fire to
Lord.
Others, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And we just thank you for that right now, Lord, for bringing them up out of this miry clay
yes,
and
Lord.
Setting them on a place
yes,
And we give you the praise for, because we know it's all because of your glory.
Yes, Jesus.
We thank you, Lord, for all the ministry needs, all the funds, all the finances, for more partners right now, Lord. All those that left, Jesus, you said for those that would leave you and forsake you for my sake, you're going to receive 100 times in this life.
Thank you, Lord.
So, Lord, those that left you, God says, I'm going to bring back 100 times
thank
more.
You, Jesus. Thank
you, Lord. You just continue to preach the gospel,
yes,
preach
yes.
what I tell you to preach, and watch them come.
Yes, Lord.
So, Father, we just thank you right now. We agree,
yes.
and we thank you for that, Lord, for your special favor.
Thank you, Jesus.
Everywhere they go, in Jesus' name.
Yes,
amen.
In Jesus' name.
And the church said, amen. We believe and we agree.